Hi, right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I am not naive to think that Juan Soto is going to make a decision on wanting to remain a Yankee at any point during the season. We all know that he has turned down hundreds of millions of dollars throughout the years because he wants to bet on himself all the way up until hitting free agency at the end of this year. Scott Boras has been his agent, and if he continues on this pace and stays healthy, which we all expect him to do because the guy is a workhorse and plays every day, he's going to get a massive, massive contract, and he will have earned it. But there are signs that he just absolutely loves it here. And yesterday you had more of those signs. After his home run, he goes back out there to right field, and the entire fan grouping down the line there, the first base line into right field, is up and cheering for him and yelling and screaming, and he's tipping the cap, and he goes over and signs autographs between innings, so much so that he almost missed the first pitch of the top of the next inning. And we don't watch him. We haven't watched him every day. But this guy is just so happy and looks like he fits in perfectly. And if the year continues, well, long way to go, as we know, the year continues this way, it's going to be hard for him. It's going to be hard for him to want to play somewhere else if the money is equal.
Dude, we watched him in the Nationals and him rake against us.
So. Oh, of course, yeah.
I know what kind of baseball player he is. I don't think he was totally happy in San Diego, but you know, here's the thing. What other teams are going to be able to afford him if they really truly want to buy him? So I would say the Giants would be one of those teams. The Astros could be one of those teams. The Red Sox would be one of those teams. Of course, the Yankees. It's about a handful. Maybe the Cubs.
Well, the Mets, too.
The Mets. And quite frankly, what we saw yesterday was a short porch home run by a lefty where he doesn't usually hit it. And that in itself has got to be like, oh, my God, I could do this here and hit a pop-up for a home run.
Yep.
I would think that would be would be something that he would think about when he's thinking about which one of these teams he's going to end up going to. But I agree with you. He looks like he's really happy. I also don't – there's no hometown discount here. This guy is a mercenary, has been a free agent, you know, has been a guy that's turned down a ton of money from the Washington Nationals, which ultimately looks kind of smart right now.
Sure.
And if he continues on this pace and continues to lead this team, then the Yankee fans are not going to let him get out of here. They're going to put so much pressure on Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, and they will have to do some sort of contract like the Dodgers did with Shohei Ohtani. You just got to make sure he's not betting or gambling or anything.
Yeah, and there are some people that come to New York, can't handle it. Guys, pitchers we've seen like Sonny Gray and Jordan Montgomery.
This guy's a baseball player, but, man. He wanted to play baseball his whole entire life.
But this is my point. And there's others like him that when you get in this pressurized, crazy, intense environment, you thrive in it. And even though this day and age, you can go anywhere and be a superstar, it's not like it was 30 years ago where New York was just, the spotlight was bigger than everywhere else. With the way that the digital age is, you could be a huge star in any city and a national star in any city. But still, if you are the most loved player in New York, there's a different energy around you than most places in baseball.
Look, he's 25 years old. He's from the Dominican Republic, and a lot of these guys use baseball and love baseball to give them an opportunity at changing their life. And this guy is the prime example of that. You know, I'm gonna play baseball my whole life, and my expectations, like when I get to the next level, I'm gonna be great. And you know, he is happy. He's loving life. I'm sure the local Dominican population here is loving the fact that he is here and they get to watch him play baseball every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the largest Dominican population in America. So you got to think that has got to play into this a little bit. So he's going to get paid a lot of money by the Yankees if it stays like this.
Well, somebody's going to get him a lot of money.
He's going to stay here. There's no way they're going to... Look, they already got the Stanton's discussion still out there regardless of the... You know, the home run this past weekend. You know, that was a bomb. It was a grand slam. It was great. But if he is going to do that once every week, that's not going to be good enough.
No, it's not. Yeah. And this that was a key home run in a big spot. It wasn't one of those things where the Yankees were either up or down by six runs and he hit a solo home run in the ninth inning. That actually mattered. And he's starting to get his timing back a little bit. It looks like he's catching up to these fastballs now, which he wasn't earlier on in the season. But
palm a fastball.
I mean, consistency. Yeah, but they were blowing it by him the first couple of games of the year.
I would never throw him a fastball, ever. Yeah. Ever. I don't care if I walk him. I'm just not throwing the ball over the middle of the plate and accidentally hitting his bat. I'm just not throwing it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Jim, who's in Rocky Point. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling up before when you guys were talking Knicks. I know you guys switched it to baseball.
All good, man. Whatever you want to talk about.
Shoot. Yeah, you're the caller. Okay, bring it.
So I was really down on the Knicks when Julius Randle went down. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, just like you are, Boomer. I live Knicks all day, and I was really down. But then when I watched the Bucks game and I saw the continuity between the team with Isaiah Hartenstein and watching OG out there with the Villanova guys, they really move well. They really play well together. And could this literally be like an addition by subtraction? Deuce McBride's dropping 25, 30 points out of nowhere. This kid, we knew he was capable as Knicks fans, but he's like seamlessly stepped in for Emmanuel Quickly. We don't even talk about Quickly anymore because Deuce is killing it out there. Josh Hart is pouring everything he's got into it. And do we want to keep Mitchell Robinson now, or is it?
We know we want to keep Mitchell Robinson. You know, you guys, Hartenstein is not going to be playing, you know, 37 minutes. You want those guys splitting their minutes, and I think that's what Thibodeau is going to end up doing, and that's what he should do. But the thing that I asked you the other day, and you just said it, addition by subtraction, is whether or not Julius Randle's a Knick next year.
Yeah, and that's going to be.
Or they decide to go into a different direction, especially if this group gets all the way to the conference championship.
That's going to be a fascinating discussion. I think we need to see how they play in the postseason. I can't sit here and say that this year it's addition by subtraction. There were years that I felt like Julius Randle would fold in the playoffs and he was too selfish, but when him and OG and Jalen Brunson were on the floor together, that's still the best basketball that they had played. So I don't think it's addition by subtraction, but I don't think losing him is the death blow that everybody thought it would have been if we would have found out right away that he was out for the year. And this team can still be almost as good as they would have been with a healthy Julius Randle, but it's definitely not addition by subtraction.
Here's the one thing that many observers will tell you about the Knicks. I don't necessarily know that I agree with it, but then again, you know, I'm not a basketball savant like other people who have watched the Knicks in and out. Like, who's the other playmaker on the team other than Jalen Brunson? Who's the other guy that can get his own shot?
Depends on the night, right?
I think Jalen Brunson is by far the most important player because he does create not only his own shot, but he also forces double teams and gets shots for other guys. And if the guys are where they're supposed to be and they are hitting their shots that night, then they're going to be really tough to beat. They're just going to be really, really tough to beat.
Let's go to Raj in New Providence. What's going on, Raj?
Yo, Boomer and Gio, good morning on a championship morning. Big UConn fan here, so love the love you guys are giving this morning. Thank you very much. Gio, I agree with you about Hurley. I mean, you know, he's an in-your-face guy, really high-intensity guy. You don't see that too often. And, you know, even the first couple of years, you know, this team lost to Boomer's Terrapins in the first round, lost to New Mexico State in the first round, probably the worst loss ever for a UConn team in the tournament. And to turn that around now and 12 straight double-digit wins in the NCAA tournament, I don't think we're going to see anything like this ever again. Just wanted to ask you guys, you know, a former big-time FAN host just tweeted out that this might be the most dominant team, the best team since the glory days of UCLA with Wooden. I'm too young for that, but do you guys agree? I mean, do you think this has been the best display of college basketball we've seen in the last 30 years from these two UConn teams?
Well, the first team that comes to mind prior to UCLA is the back-to-back championships that Florida had.
With Billy Donovan.
Yeah, Billy Donovan and Joakim Noah. This UConn team, especially this year, blew out teams more than that team did. And that team in Florida had more of like this flair to it than this UConn team that's just surgically great.
Offensively, they've been unbelievable.
I mean, if you really want to break down margin of victory,
yes,
and how far ahead they are from the rest of the field in a sport that has been, there's been so much parity in the last couple of years. It's a hard thing to argue that they aren't one of the greatest that the game has seen in the last few decades.
You know what I want to tell you to Danny Hurley this morning? What do you got for me next year?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I mean, you just, they continually move on the offensive side. And on the defensive side, he told you what his game plan was. No three-pointers. You know, it does, I mean, Jay Wright's Villanova teams were like that.
Yeah. Yep. And Jay Wright, I mean, man, every time I hear Jay Wright, and I think about when you said, is he going to go to Kentucky? He can't go to Kentucky.
Why not?
Because he left because he couldn't deal with the nonsense of college sports anymore. Now he's going to go to that place.
And he is a good broadcaster. I will say he does a great job.
Yeah.
And if you listen to him, he knows how to break down a game. If they offered him, like, whoever gets that job is going to either have to leave a job or come out of retirement. And somebody's going to be the highest paid college basketball coach in the history of the sport. And could that be Jay Wright?
Very well could be if he's got the itch.
No, I don't think he does, but.
But he would be. They would pay him. I mean, they would pay him a tremendous amount of money, man. Yeah. But I think the biggest point, just back to UConn, is the fact that the main theme we've talked about at college basketball is the gap between the best teams and the worst teams, the ones and the 16s, the 2 and the 15s, have never been smaller. And here's UConn, who comes into this tournament as a defending champion, the number one overall seed, and just smoked everybody.
Steamrolled everybody.
That has not happened.
But you remember at the beginning of the whole thing, Danny Hurley was talking about, I don't want my team to be complacent.
Yeah.
That was his whole theme when this whole thing started. When the March Madness started. And I got to tell you, that team played with an edge and a chip on its shoulder, and it didn't have to.
Yeah, and I think if you heard some of the players after the game yesterday, they kept bringing up, you know, people said last year was a fluke. And like, I don't remember a lot of people saying that. That to me was Danny Hurley probably finding one person who said that, sticking on the bulletin board and saying, this is going to be our motivation this year, that somebody said that last year's national championship was a fluke.
You know, just reminds me how far my school is from even competing at that level.
Yeah. I mean,
St. John's has got a better chance than my school.
Yeah. But as I was just about to say, we just talked about Seton Hall and St. John's playing UConn tough and Seton Hall actually beating them. I mean, but they're just not, nobody's on that level right now. Nobody.
But you know what it is? When you play within your division, you know, teams know who you are. You know, they know all about you. And some teams may get intimidated by playing against you. Other teams, like Seton Hall and like St. John's, with the coaches that they have, are going to say, we can do this. We don't, you know, they're just like you are. You just got to play harder than they do.
Yeah.
So, and that's, I think it's a credit to those coaching staffs of those particular teams in their division or in their conference. But to me, man, Danny Hurley is like on another level right now.
You know how in, like, you get a really good college football team like Alabama when they were just roasting everybody, and you get those conversations you'd see on some of these debate shows, like, would Alabama be able to beat the Cleveland Browns when the Browns were down? How come nobody does that with basketball?
Because there's no way.
Like, there could UConn beat the Pistons?
No.
I bet you somebody does that today. How much you want to bet that on one of these debate shows, whether it's First Take or First Things First or whatever, that someone throws out there, could this UConn team beat the Pistons?
All right, and which person would say yes?
I don't know. You saw some hot takes, yes. I mean, maybe Skip Bayless.
What were the hot takes yesterday?
About? I saw both. It's funny because two former members of CMB.
Really?
Independently.
Oh.
Said that Dawn Staley should be the next coach at Kentucky. Chris Carlin and Maggie Gray. Now, I did not hear what Bart had to say about this. I don't know if this was a 3-for-3 trifecta, but I saw Chris Carlin tweet that out.
Thanks for checking in.
And then I saw a video that Maggie and Perloff put out of Maggie saying that Dawn Staley should be the next head coach at Kentucky. So that was the big hot take yesterday. You tell me someone's not going to have the can UConn beat the Pistons take today?
No way. Biggs is not going to have that take.
He might not, but somebody will.
I can understand the whole Dawn Staley thing because there are more females now than ever before involved in men's basketball.
Yeah.
And when you have a coach that knows basketball, and by the way, Dawn Staley actually has a men's group of men that come and practice against her team. I don't know if you know this.
The Pistons, actually. It's crazy.
And she actually said that they get championship rings as well because they're on the practice court against us, pushing us. And they're as much a part of our team and our success as we are.
The unsung heroes.
She actually uses men on the basketball court to go against her team.
I like that. Yeah. Why not?
How you doing?
All right, Boomer and Gio
so
on
maybe
the fan.
Maybe she should be the next head coach in Kentucky.
CBS Sports Network as well. Free Odyssey app. Use the rewind feature to check out everything. We did hardcore sports talk at 6 o'clock. If you'd like to go back and check that out.
We were all over sports.
I mean, we were hammering it. Taking a big sports hammer and hammering that nail right into the wood. Right before the break, I said there's going to be somebody today in the sports media world and the debate shows that throws out, could UConn beat the Detroit Pistons? Because that's what this business has turned into, is stuff like that. And some sharp listeners sent me, the Dan Patrick Show has already discussed this and even had a gambling expert on to discuss what the point spread would be in that game. And then Mike Greenberg threw it out there kind of like a joke on ESPN, but then they ended up discussing it seriously after he brought it up as a joke. So little did I know that it has been out there for weeks now, that silly take.
You're not paying attention.
Well, thank God I'm not paying attention to some of these shows because what a ridiculous conversation that is. But I'm sure there'll be more of it today. Why not? And by the way, that gambling expert said that the spread would be 45.
Really?
Between UConn and the Pistons.
Hey, by the way, remember I was telling you how South Carolina women's team were using men to play against in practice?
Yeah.
So Dean and Rocky Points got something first. Dean, what's happening?
Yeah, what's happening, Boomer? I'm a phys ed teacher at Syosset. One of our students that graduated from there, Jason Levson, he is a member of that group of guys that helps South Carolina, that plays against plays against their women. He's one of the managers there. They have their own coach. Their coach makes sure that, they're like the look team on offense, the look team on defense. And they practice and play against the women at South Carolina each and every day. And then they help prepare them for future opponents. They help prepare them for the teams that they were playing in this tournament. And, it was pretty cool. I mean, he's going to get it.
He's going to get a ring. And Coach Staley said that those guys get rings, too.
Yep. He was an all-county basketball player for us, and he's a great kid. But yeah, I mean, he's part of it, and he helps make them better every day. So it's pretty cool.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. There you go.
How about that?
I mean,
that's pretty smart, actually. But when you think about it, I wonder, like, if they all get rings, it's almost like the basketball team is what, like 15 people, I guess, in college.
Yeah,
16. And now you have a whole nother team that is practicing against you. Is that allowed, Jerry?
I didn't know it was, to be quite honest. Really? I didn't think it was.
I don't know, but she does it.
I don't know.
Is this going to be like a girls' championship ring, like a girly-looking ring that the guys get?
Girly ring. It's going to be a championship ring. They get one. They're a part of the team.
I'm just curious. I have no idea. But, I mean, will it be like if you were on that practice squad team, would you feel like you deserve that ring?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. You know why? Because I got to show up on time. I'm a part of the team. I got to practice.
Didn't win one single game.
You know what? You got the girls ready to win their games.
Well, let me ask you, when you were on the sidelines for Pitt, if they would have won a big bowl game,
and
they
said this all the time.
Gio, here's a ring for being part of the program.
If they came to me before.
You would have given it back?
Yeah, 100%. And I've said that before. I also said it. There was a couple of guys who worked for the Giants that got rings that I said, do you really feel like he deserved that?
So what, how about when you got hurt, you were keeping the book for Neil Heaton in high school?
Yeah.
Did you guys win a championship?
No, but that I got the coach's award that year.
That's what, yeah.
For dealing with my injuries so well and still being a team player and going out there and hitting fungos with my one good arm and keeping the book. See, I stepped up in that situation.
So, but this is what these guys are doing. They're stepping up and they're supporting their, you know, the girls' basketball team by practicing against them, making it tough on them in practice.
Yeah.
So when they do get to the games, they're ready to go and they're
big part of it.
They were undefeated this year. Like, I know how great UConn has been the last 2 years. We could all sit here and talk about the greatest team of all time. I would tell you Dawn Staley's team is one of the greatest teams of all time.
All right, Jerry, what's happening over there?
Brought to you by
sports.
The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. And what is happening is UConn is the national champion.
Beat, rebound UConn on the run, DR to the rim, scoops it up, lays it in, 56-40. The Huskies running to a second straight national championship timeout.
Westwood won NCAA radio the call there. 75-60, UConn beats Purdue. Really a dominant second half in this game. Tristan Newton finished with 20. Stephon Castle adding 15. Here was their head coach, Dan Hurley. Back-to-back titles. This was on TBS. We won again. It's what we do here.
Yo, UConn's been running for the last 25, 30 years. UConn's been running college basketball. And I see all the former champs over there. And we run. We've been running college basketball the last 30 years. Let's go.
Yeah.
Both men's and women's.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Here's Matt Painter, really complimentary of what the Huskies did. So their defense, absolutely suffocating.
We've played against athletes, you know, and played against some really good defensive guys this year and in the tournament, but not the collection of defensive players like UConn has.
They did not allow them to shoot threes. Just 1-for-7 in the game. They become the first repeat champion since the 06-07 Florida Gators. Meantime, interesting observations along the way on TBS from Ian Eagle.
Legend Hall of Famer Gene Cady is here. He also has a P on the back of his head.
What?
Well, he's from Purdue, so I know what he's saying.
But oh.
If you take out the A, he's got giant P on his head. So he was having fun. And do you remember this song from the 90s?
Yes. I wish I was a little bit taller.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl with a good. I would call.
Ian, clearly more hits than rap as they come back from break.
Shout out to Skilo, the taller and their ballers. Edie and Klingon, the numbers have been prolific.
I don't think Raph knew what you're talking about.
I'll play you some Skilo later. I'll catch up another couple of years.
Poor Raph. It's just lost.
Another couple of years. It's 30 years ago.
Hey, UB Brown's still doing these games. Why not Raph?
No, right? No, I wasn't saying that. I'm saying that song is like
catch
something
up, right?
Right, that happened yesterday.
John Sterling's got them all beat.
That's true.
I think UB Brown's 90.
Is he?
I think he is.
Oh, wow.
He's doing color as opposed to John doing baseball play-by-play.
That is
on
true.
The radio.
That is true. I was just comparing him to Raph.
Not every day.
Close.
UB Brown.
Against
the Marlins.
Yeah, UB Brown. And I know he just signed a new 2-year contract. He's 90.
Wow.
He's still doing NBA games on ESPN Radio.
He's 90. It's unbelievable.
And he still sounds really
That's
good.
That's great.
All right, you mentioned John Sterling, so he was not in the booth. Well, we'll do the Mets first, actually. The heck of the Yankees. We'll get to them last hour. The Mets beat the Braves 8-7. Brandon Nimmo 4-for-4, game-tying home runs in the 5th and the 7th innings, then an RBI single in the 8th. He kept it real, though. He said, hey, good win, but guys, it's like one good win.
That's a really good team over there, and they're not going to back down just because we won tonight. You know, nice to kind of do what they've done to us a few times, but it doesn't mean that they're going to back down. You know, and so you still got to show up tomorrow.
Yeah, without back down from anything. They're still 6-3 of the Braves. The Mets now 4-6. DJ Stewart, the go-ahead 2-run homer in the 8th, but Nimmo, the 2 home runs, 4-for-4 day or evening.
Nothing annoys Braves fans more than a Mets win.
Well,
over
the same,
Braves.
And the same thing for the Mets when they lose to the Braves.
True, but I'm just saying, especially in this case this year with the expectations.
Fair enough. fair enough.
That, well, the Braves fans had to leave there last night, especially, you know, as Hank Aaron there.
And they were winning 4-0.
Yes.
And they were winning 4-0.
Morton throwing that sweeping curveball that Keith Hernandez was talking about, getting in front of the box, getting the back of the box. What part of the box would you be in, G?
That'd be deep. Adrian Hauser on the mound tonight. As for the Yankees, they shut out the Marlins 7-0. Home runs from Volpe and Soto. I heard you guys talking about Soto with the autographs before the game and almost missing first pitch. He was asked about that afterwards.
Yeah. I saw that. I saw the clock, too, and I was like thinking, hesitating, because the game was supposed to start 6-8, 6-08, something like that. So I have 2 minutes. I try, and then like turn around, and Nestor is almost moving and making his speech. So I was like, oh, my God.
He almost missed it, but he didn't, and he's having a heck of a time. The Yankees are 9-2.
Imagine that if that ball were hit out into right field and he weren't there and he wasn't there?
He's about the one guy who can get away with
yes,
it right now.
Yes, he could. I agree.
He'd be like, oh, Juan. Silly Juan.
Ah, damn.
Silly
Juan, yes. It's the Marlins. We'll be fine. Carlos Rodon, the start tonight. First pitch on the fan at 7:05. Lots of people talking about the eclipse, obviously, from yesterday, as you guys were earlier. Charles Barkley, not all that impressed. He was on TBS.
Well, y'all, some of them losers standing outside watching that today.
They're not losers.
Yes, they are.
It doesn't happen often.
Hey, we've all seen darkness before. Stop it.
No, not in the day.
Like, come on, man.
Come on, Chuckster. Don't hate on the eclipse.
All right, well, a lot of people love the eclipse, and so I bring you Christine Johnson. She was working for CBS, local CBS,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
She was in Niagara Falls, so I got some clips from you for her report here. She was in watching the cloud cover, not ruining it, but it certainly diminished it a little bit at first.
We have been able to see some of the eclipse, some of the moon blocking the sun at first contact. But right now, unfortunately, as we approach totality, it is very cloudy and we do not see the sun. But you know what? Still, you can still feel the air getting colder.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And she says, what a sight.
Everyone is holding up their phones. Everyone is, you can hear the crowd. They're cheering.
This thing has been going on all over the place.
Very, very overwhelming.
Yeah. This is such a magical moment.
Yes.
You feel it in every sense, in every cell of your body, because it's like somebody turned the lights out.
And then
then what happens when the lights go out?
She talked to
and then
she then talked to Audrey. Audrey made the trip with her family from, I think, Indiana or somewhere.
This is actually Audrey's second eclipse. Audrey, second owl. Oh, my gosh. You just experienced. We're in totality right now. Tell me what it's like to experience this with your kids.
It's kind of overwhelming. We're with all the cloud cover, we don't really get to see what I had seen in 2017, which was this burning white ring in the sky. But it's still like you can feel the awesomeness of nature.
I love how it's cloudy. They can't see it, but they just don't want to admit that the clouds F the whole thing up. So they're like, you can feel the power. You can't see it. The whole point is you change your entire life to go up there to see it. You can't see it. Now you're just lying to yourself.
I know that's Christine, and she's a friend of the show.
She's
and everything
great.
Else. She's great. We love her to death. But I'm telling you, the girl on Fox News, Aisha Nahasny, she was like at a birthday party. It was unbelievable. She couldn't control herself. She was so excited. People on TV were just overwhelmed by all of this.
A couple more. Audrey really getting emotional now.
I just feel like the connection of the whole universe, sort of.
Look behind us, Audrey. I mean, you
just
can
feel
see
so...
the lights. You can see the breaks in the clouds. The colors.
just wow.
We got to see at least a second of it, and that was so worth it, wasn't it?
Yes!
Oh, boy.
Listen, I thought it was cool. I looked up. I was like, man, this is pretty cool. Hey, these are glasses. Is it pretty cool? It's pretty cool. All right, the power of everything. Great. Now let's keep going on with our day. I mean, the fact that these two are weeping about this is just... Can we find some common ground between Charles Barkley?
What are you losers doing outside looking up at the sky?
Oh, my Lord. What the hell?
That's you guys.
What do you mean?
Oh, I mean, you guys are the in-between.
You're the in-between.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
Oh, yeah, there it is. That's cool. All right, we move on with our day. As opposed to losers and, oh, my God.
Right.
Jesus.
Oh, pretty funny.
Did you get tricked by anybody sending an eclipse video to you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, of course. I got tricked by a bad one.
What, in what way?
Wood.
This guy.
You got wood?
Well, you know that guy, Mr. Wood from back in the day that would pop up on your phone everywhere when people were trying to trick you with stuff.
Okay.
But this one was, so it was with the guys I was with yesterday with the solar eclipse glasses, so one guy sends in the thread. He sends the picture of us with the eclipse glasses and then sends a video after it. So I click on a video, and it's a picture of, like, the sun, and then all of a sudden a ball sack goes in front of me.
I'm like, oh! We all got that one. Damn it! We all got that one.
That's funny. Knicks in Chicago tonight. You got the Rangers taking on the Islanders, and the Devils host the Maple Leafs.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live with Built Ford Tough Studio. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I got a funny hockey reference story yesterday. It shows you how my days in Pittsburgh and some of the things I remember there, it just stuck with me forever because we talked so much Penguins. They were good. And for Islander fans out there, the Penguins only got 1 point last night, luckily. So Islanders still in that third place in the Metropolitan with a big game tonight against the Rangers. So as I'm playing yesterday, the guy who was hosting us, the Michael Jordan of superintendents, Craig Currier, says, hey, come on over. I want you to meet these maniacs. So I'm like, oh, these maniacs. So now I'm interested, you know?
Can I guess who the maniacs are? I absolutely know who these maniacs are.
And by the way, they were, before you even say, they were awesome. They were so much fun, and they were great, and I was so happy to meet them. But yes, go ahead.
One of them had to be Greg Buddle.
That's right. Yep.
One of them had to be Garth Snow.
Yep.
Was Wally there?
Wally was not there, no.
Wally was not there.
No. Nope.
Another maniac. So was who? All right, let me ask you this question. Was it Garth Snow who gave you the hockey reference?
No. It was me giving this other person a hockey reference.
The third person.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Trying to think.
Former Islander, former Ranger, Aaron Asham. So
he is a maniac.
So Aaron Asham comes up in the car, and I immediately recognize him, and I say, hey, Aaron, how's it going, man? And he said, hey, nice to meet you. I said, listen, I was in Pittsburgh when you were a Penguin. And I said, there was a fight that you were in that I remember. What was that? He goes, Jay Beagle, Capitals, knocked him out cold. And I was like, that's right.
So you remembered that.
And I remembered that. Oh. And the reason why I remembered it was not only did he knock him out cold, but when he skated to the box, he did the sleeping thing where he put his two hands to his face and skated off.
Yeah.
And people didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? Penguin fans loved it. But, people didn't like that. It was a little bit too.
It's more now part of the game than ever before, just simply because of Matt Rempe and the Rangers.
That's right. So
be interested to see if Rempe's in the lineup tonight. We're gonna have to do this all over again.
I hope not, man. I want to see.
I don't mind it. I like the fighting in the game, and there's a reason for it. But the Rangers are still playing for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and the Islanders are still playing to try to get into the freaking playoffs, and they may end up playing each other.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I am, as we've talked about many times, I totally understand the fighting in hockey and serves its purpose, and I got no issue with it. I just, tonight, I don't want that to distract from this playoff push that the Islanders are in the middle of right now.
Yeah, I mean, Rempe only plays 5 minutes a game anyway, if he does play. And that's even without any penalties, because they don't trust him just on defense just yet. And it's interesting how Peter Laviolette is juggling those lines, trying to figure out what's going on. And then the other night, he puts Jimmy Vesey back up on the number one line, and all of a sudden, Kreider and Zibanejad go crazy.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to find that guy. Maybe that guy's been in the locker room the whole freaking time.
Yeah.
And credit Jimmy Vesey for being at one point in time one of the most popular players coming out of college and selecting the Rangers and then leaving the Rangers and then figuring his game out and then coming back and now being like the Swiss Army knife for the team.
Yeah. You know the first thing I did when I got home yesterday? Went to YouTube to watch that.
The fire
and Asham J. Beagle fight.
How long did it last?
Oh, I mean, it was the fight itself was only like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, punch, punched, and whap, and got him. And then Aaron Asham skates off. You got to watch it. You just, if anybody's likes hockey fights, go back, do Aaron Asham, Jay Beagle, and you'll enjoy that one. But just seeing that guy who was capable of that and being like the enforcer and the tough guy was just like rolling around yesterday in the golf cart, his mid-40s, just enjoying life. You know, it's like, hey, that's what this is all about. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you a question.
Nice little career in the NHL. Now he's loving life.
When you did ask him about that,
mm-hmm.
did he like kind of puff his chest up and goes, oh yeah, knocked him out?
No, he didn't. No,
he didn't do that.
No, it was very humble. Like, that's the one you're talking about, because that's the one you would be talking about, you know, that type of thing. Like, yeah, Jay Beagle, Capitals, knocked him out. I was like, that's right. He's like, uh-huh. It wasn't a puff your chest out pride moment. He did it very, very humbly, like a hockey player would.
Yes, okay.
You know, respectfully.
Respectfully.
This is the one you're thinking about.
All right.
Knocked that guy out cold on the Capitals. All right, Boomer and Geo on a Fan and CBS Sports at Network.